What up?
Welcome.
This is the Fire This Time podcast.
Episode 68.
My name is Sonny Teray.
And I'm Akita G.
And we are so happy to have y'all once again. We have an exciting show packed. But before we get going too quick, I keep going to welcome the people righteously as you do best, my brother.
Well, peace to the people, man. Welcome. Thank you for coming back with us. As usual, make sure you like, share, comment. You know, we on all platforms. So if you're looking for us, you can find us. And, you know, we here. It's a little, we had a nice little decent weather today in town. But, you know, it gets chilly once that sun go down. You know, we getting into them later fall months, so it's going to be a little Indian weather going on. But what we got for the people today?
Today we're going to talk about the election, the midterm elections that's happening tomorrow. You know, we did a little research about how things is looking to go down.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely been talking about some of the lead up concerning outreach to black people, particularly black men, some of that BS. So a few more updates on that as we look forward to a pivotal election tomorrow. We're also going to once again touch on the Kyrie Irving situation, given the fact that he's now been fined, apologized. And also, we got a chance to check out some of the documentary in question and have a slight review of what we've seen in response.
Yeah.
But to kick things off for this episode 68, we want to give a very, you know, sad and heartfelt rest in peace to our brother Takeoff. And also just want to say, you know, peace to all his family, friends, and fans.
Yeah.
You know, that are now dealing with, you know, his murder.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, man. You know, a lot of rumors around it, but either way, you know what I'm saying? I like the Migos. They was kicking, making decent music, even though they was missing Offset. They still seemed like they was on pattern, on track. And it just really all came out the damn blue. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, it's a lot of rumors out there, y'all, about, you know, what took place with that. I don't really choose to go through all of that. All I can say is, man, you got to watch yourself wherever you at these era of time, man. You don't know when snakes around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You can't be in the snake's den and expect one not to sting you. But we got to get better. You know what I'm saying? We got to get better at you know what I'm saying, how we move and man, how we handle shit. Because, you know what I'm saying, the way shit looking is just a hater. You know, this was just pulled by a hater. You know what I'm saying? In this era, it don't take much for a nigga to react. I'm sad to say it, bro. You know what I'm saying? Cats is shooting people for less now. And that just shouldn't have happened, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, condolences to his family and things like that. I you know, that was just like the dissolution of a group.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just like that, you know. But rest in peace to him.
Yeah, rest in peace once again to Takeoff, man. Very sorry to hear about that, man. I'm just like you, a big fan. I love what he did for hip-hop.
Yeah.
I mean, just being the style maker that he was.
Yeah.
The ability to put together flows like he did. I mean, he contributed a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just with him being him and what he did within that group, inspired within that group, you know, and
sometimes there's elements that make the elements that went into making the group is what those elements are. Mm-hmm. You can't remove an element from it and expect it to taste the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully, you know what I'm saying, whatever if there's any tension, you know, left between Quavo and Offset.
Yeah, they get.
Hopefully that can close up and, you know, we can get, you know, I guess a resolution there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But with that being said, you know, we're going to keep it moving. You know, not going to dip into too much of the rumor mill, which is so available.
Yeah.
On that side of things.
Yeah.
And we'll let y'all do that on your own. But let's go on and get into the Kyrie Irving situation, Aki.
Nah.
Because I think we talked about it in one of the last episodes or two. And, I mean, of course, if you don't know the story with Kyrie, what all this controversy is about, he was recently suspended for 5 games and required to meet with Jewish officials, Jewish organizations, do the apology tour, sit down with the Untouchables, as Dr. Umar Johnson would call them.
yeah.
And, you know, and all this other stuff, even after he agreed to pay $500,000. But it's all stemming from the fact that he initially, at least, refused to apologize for posting a link to a documentary, long-ass title, but Negroes to Hebrews, or Hebrews to Negroes.
Hebrews to Negro.
So that's the company, one of the companies, that released that. You know, it might be a book component.
Yeah, I wonder it's a book, too.
I mean, considering what the documentary looked like, and we'll get into that, I wonder what the fuck the book looks like,
Aki. Hey, no citations anywhere. No citations, no glossary. None of that.
Yeah, that was... like we said, Kyrie included a link on his Twitter to this documentary. And, you know, he did it as a pursuer of truth.
Yeah.
As a conversation starter, as a rebel against, you know, the hegemonic opinion or tradition.
Yeah, organized religion.
In some ways, I agree with Kyrie. In some ways, I reject and see as foolish. You know what I'm saying? But with this one, in some ways, I respect his urge to be critical.
Yeah.
Of a group that you're not supposed to be critical of.
Yeah.
But that I don't think he watched that documentary before he posted it, just because it's so poorly done.
Man.
I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Of course, there's people out there that, you know, might love it, might like that type of content.
I think,
but that was just a poorly done situation.
I think it was a poor choice. If you wanted people to learn something about what you were professing or studying or reading or seeking, it was other and better sources that you could have sent them to. Even though I disagree with them, that could inform them better than a documentary.
It was a 1 out of 10 or a 0 out of 10.
Yeah, it was 0. Zero. Like we was into it, Aki. We went about what, 25? Maybe 25 minutes until we got to the actual start.
Yeah.
And then information was mediocre at best. Like, nothing I could put my hands on. Like,
it was haphazardly done, constructed. It was all over the place.
You could only have read the Bible. And even reading the Bible, none of that would have made sense to you. Scattered, incoherent. We got to do better, people.
For sure.
You know, first of all, we got to get better on our production and editing skills. We can't be out here living foul like this in these streets. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to put something out there, he couldn't have looked at the whole damn thing.
But again, that's not the only problem, though. Part of the problem is just the fact that you can't construct a narrative. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you think about how, you know, if you have somebody's attention, mm-hmm. how are you going to explain maybe a complex topic to them?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to be a heavy reader to be talented in that area.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To be able to teach about something you're knowledgeable about.
Yeah.
But I found the documentary very sorely lacking in the ability to teach about what they were concerned about.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think a separate issue from that, you know, still connected, of course, but is the reaction of the NBA and, you know, I mean, that's a big part of the conversation right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You see a lot of independent black media calling out the Shannon Sharps.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, all the other names, you know what I'm saying, that are condemning, even calling out LeBron James for condemning Kyrie's actions as anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I learned some about the word past few weeks as well.
Mm-hmm.
Learned that in, you know, the original definition of the word before a Zionist with, you know, the U.S. and the Western world's help established the false state of Israel and mm-hmm. oppressing Palestinians and doing it. Before that time, the word Semite was more commonly referred to a wider umbrella of people, you know. So thus, I mean, Arabs and, you know, so in the example I read, like, think about Palestinians, you know, being oppressed by so-called Israelites, you know, yeah. the Zionists, white Zionist motherfuckers, mm-hmm. colonial motherfuckers. They're experiencing anti-Semitism.
Yeah, they're technically Semites.
Exactly. Given the original definition of the world, these so-called Israelites, you know, these Jews propped up by the imperialist West.
Yes.
That installed the state of Israel.
Yes.
They're committing anti-Semitism as Jews against the Semitic people or the Palestinians that were there.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we want to talk about what anti-Semitism is or is not.
I mean, the very fact that even what Kanye said was going on with him, and then with Kyrie saying and what's going on with him, speaks to what they were talking about. Like Umar said, untouchables. You can't touch them. I don't know why you can't touch them. And it's like, I know plenty of Jews that do not fuck with Negroes. I know some who do. Right? Are they standing up? Were they around on this racism shit when we was dealing with? In our continuous and constant battle with the piggy, with the Mr. Piggy system of this country? You know, I mean, all of this stuff, though, is a distraction for me. You know, we talk about this off show and off air all the time. You know, Hebrew Israelites, they've been snatching up a lot of brothers. You know, reforming a lot of brothers, too. You know, they got their issues like any other organization in the formation, but they have been doing that work, and in places where they are concentrated and deep, they do things like have GED classes and trade programs and, you know, halfway. I've seen them do this thing. They do this. They do some work. So I'm not going to just come at them all the way, but just this is more identity politic and religious movement. And when you get into the core of it, you know, the documentary was actually very shocking to me because it was actually talking about African peoples, which in generally, most Hebrew Israelite camps you hear a lot of times on the street, they are anti-African in this era and time. But ironically, in this documentary, they actually was talking about the Africans. They went on the East Coast and the West Coast, you know, which is a little confusing to me. So now I got to find out who is the camp of these people and what group of Hebrews they come from now, because they just as divided as any other damn thing that Negroes get their hands on. So, you know, but I do know this. They got their origins in the Pan-African movement, you know. They come from men that sat at the foot of Garvey and learned from Marcus Garvey. And, you know, they had different religious opinions within the movement. A lot of people were sort of pushing at Marcus Garvey to to actually have the Garvey movement take on religion. Like, take on a religious, you know, to set a set religion for the Garvey movement. And Garvey wasn't really on that. He didn't want the UNIA to take that type of route. He actually wrote about it in the papers because some of the people, just in general. And these brothers, you know, they remain UNIA members, but they went and they started their respective camps, you know, and did their thing. And those groups had some power and did some things in the community back then that was all right. And writing his act. But now, you know what I'm saying, they made a resurgence. They back. Just try to make a better bond with your people, man. And if y'all gonna produce a documentary, man, produce a way better one than this one. Because this shit was terrible. Like, Hidden Colors looks like the best documentary of all time. And it was a great, you know, documentary. The first one. I can't go into all the other ones. First one and the second one was solid. The third one, they went off the board to me. But, you know, Kyrie, man, you ain't get the people something better than this shit right here. This did you and the Hebrew Israelites an injustice right now.
Right. And I think another issue at play, and I appreciate that breakdown too of the history, Aki. But, you know, we got people like Jemele Hill writing articles, and I think in the Atlantic she wrote an article condemning Kyrie, and also, you know, talking about the so-called troubling trend of black men, you know what I'm saying, and kind of talking about the trend as seen through Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And of course it just shows once again that black men are you know, the actions of the few represent the many.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially when it's something negative.
Mm-hmm.
If you do something good as a black man, you're the exception.
Yeah.
A black man. You do something negative as a black man, you reflect how all black men is negative.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think we see, whether, you know, and that's kind of stepping away from whether you agree with or disagree with Kyrie.
Yeah.
And what he's saying, he's being condemned, and through his actions, black men in total are being condemned.
I mean, and what I will say is this too. That the main issue is the fact that he's a black man. Black man has been targeted. And we gotta look at that, you know. One thing I did see a lot of the memes, and you know, people were talking about the other people, you know, the Shannon Sharps, and you know, people who came out and you know, denounced him. And it makes me think about Muhammad Ali. When Muhammad Ali changed his name and refused to go into the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And how the other star athletes, Jim Brown, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell, all were there and stood with him against the United States government. You niggas can't even stand up against him to Zionist.
Mm-hmm.
It show a lot, you know what I'm saying? He's probably been one of the most vocal athletes in a while, outside of my man who took the knee, Colin Kaepernick. It shows you, you know, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's a weird little thing. It's weird. But you know what I mean? We just got to sort of manage to start, you know what I'm saying, supporting them more. But, man, you got to back up something that's legitimate. You know what I'm saying?
When it comes to critiquing those white American Jews, especially the upper class, the powerful ones,
mm-hmm.
that do have a strong influence on cultural productions coming out this country.
Yeah.
And had a strong hand to play in slavery.
Yeah.
There are a lot of powerful Jewish people and institutions and businesses that benefited greatly from our enslavement.
Mm-hmm.
So discussing those things and pointing out those things is not anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
And I stand strong on that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, shit, white Jewish people, white Christians worked in tandem to keep mm-hmm. niggas down and benefit from our enslavement.
Yeah.
You know, and I was watching this one thing. It just came up on my YouTube algorithm. And it was Hebrew Israelites debating a white Jewish dude.
Mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, who I guess traces line through some white Jews, his family, whatever. Mm-hmm. Even though he himself, white dude on the street, probably New York somewhere.
Yeah.
He was himself identifies as atheist. So you know the Hebrew Israelites was going in mm-hmm. on this atheist white Jew, debating them about who the real Jews were. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Trying to, you know, come at them.
Yeah.
But you know, one thing the white Jews said was, "I'm not white, I'm Jewish." And this was a white man, you know, blonde yeah. hair, white. I mean, this was a white man, clearly,
yeah,
in every way, right? And they just laughed at him, as all Black Americans laugh at that type of shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever type of exclusivity that white Jewish people feel, you know, where they don't they trace some type of separate. They try to separate themselves from other whites. Mm-hmm. That's not how Black Americans view them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You just a different flavor of white supremacy.
Yeah, yeah. You just a different white person. That's all.
Right.
Ain't no Italian that's different. You white.
White Christians played a critical role in our enslavement. Mm-hmm. But so did white Jewish people.
And white Arabs.
And, of course, numerically, I think Christians outnumber, no doubt, white Jews in this country. Probably in terms of the elite, too.
Yeah. White Jews in this country always played a role in... And specifically with Black people in insurance and banking. During even the colonial times when slave trade was taking place, things of that such nature, they operated and insuring a lot of the ships. You know, it's a little bit of Moorish history in there too, because most of those people, you gotta remember, Spain was the one who sent the first ships out. Spain shipped those first ships out, but it was the Moorish banks that was there, or what they called the Mujadars. Riscos, who actually was funding those ships that came out of the coffers of those people. But they've always functioned in that. And then when they came to the United States of America, think about most groups that came here. The Italians had ghettos and lived in the ghettos. The Scottish people lived in the redneck backwoods of the South. The Irish people were sent to the Appalachian Mountains and things of that such nature, right? The Jews was moved. They lived in big cities and controlled the same thing they controlled there: banking, insurance, and eventually they went into forms of media or distribution. So, they've to me never been at odds. You know, you take one incident that happened for what? Holocaust took place for what? 3-4 years.
Maybe a little bit longer than that.
About 3-4 years. Okay, 4 or 5 years. You compare that to a 200-year, you know what I'm saying, 200-year, full-fledged, another 100-year, you know what I'm saying, terrorizing campaign. You know, I'm not here to compare oppression and things like that, but...
Think about how many nations were involved in the reparatory project for the Jewish people that experienced the Holocaust.
Yeah.
How many nations have been involved in the reparatory project for what we experienced for 400 plus?
Yeah. Yeah. And they know it's not necessarily a way you could repay us, like, you know, or do something necessarily for it.
Especially when the whole system that you're benefiting from or rely on relies on our subjugation as a Black underclass.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, you know what I'm saying? Instead of, you know, tossing their hands up and saying, you know, we're sorry, we can't help you, that makes them feel too bad, so they run with other rationalizations.
Mm-hmm. But in most cases, Jews have voted in line of white supremacy too. So, you know, I mean, there's some truth to what Kyrie and Kanye, specifically Kanye, has said, and also how they're being treated by society. The society has proven what they said about the Jews correct. You know? And we just got to get over that anti-Semitic stuff, you know? That's why Farrakhan can say what he want to say when he want to say it, because he's not tied into making their money to some extent and getting their money. But,
All right, so I do want to change course a little bit, Aki, and this is not a topic that we opened, that we was going to talk about for this episode.
Yeah.
But I want to slide it in here, Aki. I sent you this link maybe Tuesday, Wednesday. We just forgot to bring it up during our pre-production meeting, right? But it's the fact that this is a Washington Post article, right? A statue of legendary spy Harriet Tubman now stands at the CIA headquarters.
Oh, my God.
So now there's a...
Oh, my God.
There is a statue of, you know, within Black history, perhaps one of the most, if not the most famous Black woman, Harriet Tubman, most near and dear to our history as Black Americans, New Africans, right?
Yeah.
It don't get much greater than the power and resolve and the bravery that Harriet Tubman showed.
Now, the CIA, not the FBI.
CIA, Aki. And so I'm reading this, and, you know, some are decrying it. Some Republicans, even, like Mike Pompeo, is talking about, you know, a woke military is a weak military. But, you know, the CIA museum director says it was awesome. Talking about the ceremony where they installed it, right? And she was installed alongside two other statues, right? One of Nathan Hale, an American spy killed by the British during the Revolutionary War. And, of course, because we're Black radicals, we're New African revolutionaries, we take the position of Gerald Horn that it was not a revolutionary war that American colonists fought against the British. It was a counter-revolutionary war fought to preserve slavery and the rule of slave masters.
Yeah.
And that system, in the face of Britain's moves against the international slave trade.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, Britain's moves against the international slave trade had great importance for what was at that time their colony.
Yeah.
In North America, which later became, you know, after this war, the United States.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so Nathan, so in that regard, Nathan Hale being a spy working for America, working against the British, this is not a necessarily somebody who would agree with the anti-slavery positions of Harriet Tubman.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I don't know his history, but definitely he got marched against him.
Yeah.
And then also, the third statue is William J. Donovan, who is considered the founding father of the CIA. So what the fuck does William Donovan, the founding father of CIA, have to do with Harriet Tubman, Aki? Of course, they're looking at her, and the next paragraph begins, at first blush, Tubman, a civil rights activist who famously and repeatedly broke the law, might seem an unlikely inspiration for today's foreign intelligence officers. But then they go into the ethos and the mission and how there's overlap. But my thing is, Harriet Tubman, at her time,
She wasn't doing spy work like that.
She wasn't doing civil rights work because we weren't yet citizens. I mean, when she was freeing slaves, that was at a time when they were still slaves. We still had to get the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But so all I'm saying, to reduce what Harriet Tubman did to, she was just a civil rights activist.
Yeah.
She was an anti-slavery activist. Maybe later, you know what I'm saying, a civil rights activist for sure. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's something she never engaged in. But I would reach more towards like an anti-slavery heroine. You know what I'm saying? As far as, you know.
I mean, she went into the full-time work of freeing slaves.
Yeah.
That was her trade. I mean, you know, that was her skill.
I mean, she wasn't freeing them to the civil liberties of America, what I'm saying? Because those didn't exist, so why would it be civil rights?
And she wasn't doing spy work like that. Like, people, they try to make that. Like, her spy work came behind enemy lines because she knew underground networks during the Civil War and how to move through them. So the Underground Railroad still existed. It was never really destroyed. So if you wanted to convey information to Union soldiers, you could use that underground network.
So you're saying that the end of the Harriet Tubman movement that made a Black man named Bigger Long the biggest antagonist, it was also wrong when it had Harriet Tubman leading Civil War troops? The Union troops in the battle at the end of the movie?
Yeah.
When she was near the front lines?
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. She was a leader of troops,
But it was more like bands of troops. Mm-hmm. Like I said, she was a conductor on the Underground Railroad. She knew how to get behind enemy lines. Mm-hmm. She was going all the way farther down to South Carolina. That's where the presidency of the Union was in the beginning before they transferred her down to Mississippi.
She knew better than what most maps were saying at the time.
Pretty much.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? And she can get slaves at the same time. Because, say for instance, she gets down there, Union troops are attacking Confederate troops in certain places. She can draw the slaves out and get them back, even sometimes through enemy lines. It's a whole big tradition down south they have of Harriet Tubman. Mm-hmm. And they tell it. I just don't think up here they don't hear that type of story that we hear back there about that. But that's some wild shit. You put her on the CIA. First of all, that's like her fighting against the CIA. Then she decided to work for the CIA. That don't even make sense. She was being oppressed by the government. Like, nah. They're doing too much.
They try to sanitize their own history.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? By this, these symbolic honors. The same thing. They're going to put her on a $20 bill.
I'm telling you, Akeem, the implosion of the black community. And it's like they wanted it. Like, if these niggas don't wake up, it's like in 200 years, Harriet Tubman is going to be, the whole history of the United States is going to be told differently. It's going to be told completely different. Harriet Tubman is going to be for the United States, was never a slave. You know what I'm saying? Was a secret CIA double agent spy. You know, hey, we got to take ownership of our history, man. That's just that, hey, that's real shit right there. We got to take ownership of our history because that shit don't make no sense, man. You know, put her on a $20 bill. You're going to put her on the same wealth note that you developed and built and enriched off the foundational labor of black male bodies and female wombs. I don't get this shit, Aki.
It's tough, Aki. But, you know, they're going to do that symbolic. They're going to do that black girl magic. As far as why they doing it, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, this one ain't even on them. This ain't even on them. Like, I ain't even going to put the black girl magic on this one. But, well, you know what?
I'm from the CIA perspective.
Yeah, I might be able to because it's like, it's a narrative that they're going to latches.
They're trying to be woke. They're trying to they're trying to invite in the people that these higher education is influencing away from radical politics. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to show how woke they are to a generation of you already know. But I don't want to stay too long on that topic, Aki. I do want to move on to the last one and just going to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. But we got the election tomorrow. As far as like expectations, you know what I'm saying? It's looking like the House, at least the House of Representatives, is going to be firmly in the Republicans' hands.
Yeah.
But you know, the Senate is still up for grabs, and I think there's also a bigger issue at play, meaning, you know, the success of the Democrats or lack of success might determine who the Democrats are going to support maybe for the next presidential run.
Yeah.
Biden's getting old as shit. Kamala's unpopular as shit. And if the Democrats are unpopular as shit tomorrow, then I think the Democrats are going to be looking to shake things up instead of just handing shit back over to likely Trump. What's your response to all this going on with the election, Aki?
On the regular side of things, it's looking like it's going to be Trump and Biden again. A large amount of people are swinging towards Republican this year because they've lived under the straight debacle of the Democratic Party. Biden looks like he's going to go some. That said, he looks like he's going to be going some, you know what I'm saying? And we damn sure don't want Kamala as president.
She has been probably in the worst vice president we've probably had in a while. I don't know how they can change this right here. Now, you take that just on a general level. You know, there ain't no candidates to really vote for. And I don't even know if I would vote for Bernie right now just because he owed his shit, too. Can we get some youth? That's what I'm like. Can we get some youth up in there? If we're going to have somebody, have some youth people to excite the people, make them think about something. You know, but on the community level-wise, you know, the Democratic Party is having a whole, you know, big shabacle with, you know, black male voters, you know. I think not only just black males are starting to question the left and, you know, Democratic politics, but, you know, also just males in general. You know, Democrats, you know what I'm saying, they divide up their issues too much. It could be that they have a disagreement in values, you know, of what they value now. So, I don't know. There's nobody that got me excited to vote. And I'm not one of those people that's going to go vote for a candidate just because everybody else votes for a candidate. You know, some men are boycotting and people are boycotting by not voting at all based on the options that they got. So,
I mean, there's a lot of narrative. You hinted at it when you were just talking, Aki, about some of the narratives surrounding black men.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it looks like more people are shifting, you know, especially among Latino people, black folk, particularly among men of those communities.
Yeah.
At least that, I don't know how much to trust those studies. You know, yeah. I haven't looked in depth at those studies, but we're seeing that narrative more and more. And, I think I'm seeing it reflected on social media a little bit more too, as far as, you know, where a lot of people are saying Trump did better than Biden.
Yeah.
Just, you know, with the lack, I think a lot of it, you know, just to keep that issue short, you know what I'm saying? I think a lot of it is the result of a lack of actual option.
Yeah.
That reflects the black nationalism or proto-nationalism that we hold as the black masses. But I think it also, you know, in some way shows a contempt for the paternalism of, you know, liberal politics or the Democrats.
Yeah.
Towards black people and black men.
Yeah.
Which is reaching new heights of just indecency.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we got booties to the pole.
Oh, for sure. And then we get blamed. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even with...
We didn't make the video.
Exactly. Even with more black women than almost any group besides black women.
Yeah.
More black men besides any group besides black women vote Democrat.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Even while they be tricking us and pulling the wool over our eyes and all that shit, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still, we're the ones focused on as not doing enough. You know, of course, and that follows the anti-misandric posture of all of society. So I do want to play a clip from Stacey Abrams real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's talking about her poll numbers not looking so well and talking about, you know, blaming black men. So let's see what she got to say.
That has been missed, and I do not believe it's because of a deep well of enthusiasm for my opponent. We know that black voters are often discounted, and unfortunately this year black men have been a very targeted population for misinformation. Not misinformation about what they want, but about why they want what they deserve. And my campaign has been the only one that has very intentionally, thoughtfully, and consistently reached out. That has been misconstrued as concern, when indeed it's just respect. I do not believe it's because of it.
So she's saying that black men have been... She's claiming it's misinformation that's causing black men to move more Republican, or potentially move more Republican, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, Aki?
I think black men are, you know, looking at what, for the first time, black men have sort of said, hey, nobody does anything for me politically. And then they looked and said, well, who do we normally vote for? Democrats. And then men begin to ask Democrats, what are you going to do for me? And Democrats told them nothing. And then they looked at Republicans. And Republicans didn't really give them nothing. But what they did catch was that some black men lived better under Trump. Well, I'd have to say it, some black men lived better under Trump than they lived under Obama. A lot of gaps were closed, but that was more based on us because we had a whole new breed coming out. I don't know.
So let me play another clip out here. I'm going to throw another one in the mix. I haven't heard this one yet. So this is Biden advisor Keisha Lance Bottoms, a black woman. And she agrees that misinformation is the reason Stacey Abrams is losing support among black men. So let's hear what she has to say. This is a MSNBC clip.
Mayor Bottoms, I picked up on that because I'm just wondering, Stacey Abrams' focus on the misinformation that's being targeted at black men. And it makes me wonder, is she not getting the black support she needs in her race against Brian Kemp?
Listen, Jonathan, I think that Stacey is spot on with that. I listen as my kids watch NBA highlights and whatever else they watch on YouTube. I hear the misinformation being piped in. My 12-year-old, my 14-year-old son, my 20-year-old is getting it. So there is definitely a target toward African-American men.
So you're just going to point to things that African-American men like and just feel a lack of loyalty emanating from it. Mm-hmm. How are we being programmed to vote Republican through NBA highlights?
Yeah.
How? Because, like we said, all of the NBA media folk, anybody like Kyrie gets shot down by them.
Yeah.
Black and white alike. So, for me, it just, this is just pure scapegoating. These are educated, you know, politically astute black women, and Stacey Abrams and Keisha Lance Bottoms, that without any real standing are just scapegoating, you know, black men through, really, I think, through a reliance on these old narratives of us being uniquely disloyal. You know what I'm saying? Uniquely, you know what I'm saying, desiring of white patriarchal power.
Yeah.
When really I find this to be a class-based projection from elite, higher class black women that are really projecting their own desires for white patriarchal power.
Yeah.
Onto working class black men.
I mean, black men are not hive or drone minds. If we once were, we woke up long from that a while ago. Like I said, we're starting to look at stuff and we're starting to say, hey, we're not just going to vote for a party unquestioned and not question them. You see what I'm saying? Black men are getting a little more politically active. They're getting a little more politically aware. And when we analyze politics, we want to know what the hell we're getting out of it. Now, in most cases, we would vote. And this is the real screwed up thing about it. Black men now are starting to vote and look for what candidates are going to do for them politically for their own interest. And it used to be at one point in time that we looked in at politics and looked at what was the best interest of the community. But Democrats, you know what I'm saying, and even you can see that with the Stacey Abrams. You know, you couldn't give an agenda to the whole black community. You made two separate agendas for the black community. One for the women and one for the men. You didn't have to do that with no other community. Or you didn't choose to do that with any other community because you were dependent on our community You see what I'm saying? We seem to forget that for a lot of these elections that the Democrats have won for the last 15, 20 years, it was us who got them over the hump. Now, they're throwing the I guess you said Hispanic in there too. I can see the Hispanics starting to make that crossover. Typically, Hispanics and Latinos have always voted Republican. At least I know for the Latinos, like people that come out of Florida, and most of them I know, they used to vote Republican a lot. But they could even be looking at a change, you know what I'm saying, and things of that such nature. I mean, like I said, man, we got Biden in office. Biden look like he finna go. He look like he finna be taking that long siren hour. You know, and I ain't gonna wish that on nobody, but his politics ain't been good. You know, it's just something to think about, folks. You know what I'm saying? Not tell you you shouldn't vote, not tell you you should vote, but be wise with your vote and understand when you do vote, it counts. So, you know.
And let's end with this. We won't belabor the point because we made it plenty of times before.
Yeah.
The most important voting that we will do will be for our own offices as a black nation.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to create that set of institutions and that government system, that political system amongst ourselves that's separate from this colonial white institution where we can elect some national representation, national leadership, and construct our own agenda.
Yeah.
Figure out how to pursue our own endeavors as a black nation. We don't need anybody's permission to start doing that. We don't even necessarily need a whole, set of land as far as like we don't need the land for a black nation before we start operating right now as one.
The nation first exists in the mind.
Right.
You and your kind have to be a nation in mind, one in mind. You know what I'm saying? That means you can be scattered somewhere and you still think the same. That's what makes the Fulani who the Fulani are. The Fulani, anywhere the Fulani go, they are Fulani. You're going to be able to see it, but they know. If you're a Fulani and you in England, you know when you pray at that certain time that you know every Fulani. It's somebody, some Fulani around the world doing it at that same time. You know, it got to be one in the mind first. And that's what we got to get back to. We used to think like that. We used to vote like a nation, like a collective, like a group. We don't do it no more. We got to get back to that.
Yeah, we need a sophisticated black, independent black political system. You know what I'm saying? If we go by state, every state needs representation to send to this national body.
Yeah.
Or maybe we make it by region. Maybe we don't use their borders like that.
Yeah.
And maybe we do it by region.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And maybe we create 10, 15, whatever, 10 regions, you know what I'm saying, to carry that out with. Or, you know, but that got to be the goal, ultimately. And if you're not connected to the pursuit of that goal yet, you know what I'm saying, but you think it's a good idea, you know what I'm saying? You got to get on board. We all got to get on board with this because we're going to be chasing our own tail until this world ends and we fall with white America if we don't, you know, very deliberately and autonomously pursue our own national liberation. You know what I'm saying? And the structure of a nation is going to appear before the liberation.
Yeah.
You're right. Got to come to the mind first. So we got to get on, you know, the that's why I speak about it so often. We have to inspire people to agree with the idea. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know what I'm saying, eventually we will get action, more mass action on it. You know what I'm saying? But we got to be, stop being so scared to speak on it just because white people exit the conversation. White liberal money exits the conversation.
I don't even necessarily think it exits the conversation now.
Well, white people ain't... I'm talking about white liberal philanthropists, which the nonprofit industry that currently has infested our movement relies upon, their money does exit the conversation. Typically, once you really start getting on some black nation building.
I mean, I would say this.
I hadn't heard it amongst the masses.
Not yet. That's why I'm talking. That's why I'm saying I'm talking about it.
Okay.
I'm saying we need to talk about it more to inspire more masses to agree with it, and we'll eventually see more movement on it.
Okay, then.
I'm not up here saying that we already agree on it. I'm saying, but I am making the point. It's the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of chasing our tails until death. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, it's a better option than integrating and assimilate, but we done already did that. So I can't. You see the conundrum we in, black people? You know what I'm saying? But it can be overcame.
It can.
You just got to do a little work.
It's up
and make
us.
Some sacrifices.
Time is now, because it's the fire this time.
Yeah, it's the fire this time.
James Baldwin wrote about the fire next time, nigga. We here now, nigga.
Shoot, if you don't be careful, you're going to be in the fire, and hopefully you survive to the next time. For real.
Hope we make it to the next episode. Hope y'all do too. Check us out for 69 next week. Peace, y'all.
Peace.